I'm here again with McLean Schofield, a writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. In this interview, I'd like to discuss the topic you wrote about, binding WPF controls to an entity data model. Can you describe the applications that customers will create if they follow this walkthrough?
Yeah, it's kind of a canonical data-bound application. It displays data from a specific data table in an underlying database, and the intermediary data representation model is an entity data model generated by using the ADO.NET entity framework in Visual Studio. And the application itself displays a series of customers, and there's buttons for browsing forward and backwards through the database table. And there's also a button for saving data changes to customers. You can modify some of the data and click save, and code that you add to the application will save the data back to the database.
Great. So can you show me how to create an entity data model for the application?
Sure can. I'll actually probably go through the whole walkthrough here. We'll start by generating the entity data model. So I'm starting off with a baseline C# application, WPF application. It has default UI, nothing fancy going on here. I'm going to start by adding a new ADO.NET entity data model item to my project. And because I'm following along my walkthrough, I'm going to add the exact same, use the exact same names for the entity data model as I do in the walkthrough. And I want to generate my model from a database. And I already have a connection to the database I want to use. I'm just going to click Next here. And while it retrieves database information, I'm just going to wait for it to finish. Great. Now I can expand the Tables node, and I want to bring in the Customer table. And click Finish, and it's going to generate the new entity data model. There's a full-on designer and all sorts of other files that get generated for you. We're not going to delve really into those features here right now for this walkthrough, but you'll see them pop up here in a minute. There we go. We've generated the new entity data model. You can see it's called Customer here. It has all the properties that map to corresponding columns in the underlying database. And if you're really curious about what an entity data model is, how you, all the ways you can create them and all the features that they provide, you can follow up in the MSDN documentation about that, because I'm not going to go into too much detail here. But that's basically how you create the entity data model for the purposes of this walkthrough.
So normally when I create an application, I'm dragging controls over from the toolbox. In this walkthrough, you're actually copying and pasting XAML. Why do you do that?
And it's mostly a shortcut. I'm taking advantage of the design of WPF based on XAML. I can just copy and paste XAML directly into my project and defines the UI I want to use for the final application. This kind of corresponds to the workflow, the professional workflow that Microsoft is promoting with WPF, where designers of a particular UI can work in an expression product, create the UI there, and then the developers are going to implement the functionality, the back-end functionality of the application, can then just import that XAML directly in the project and go on and add the code. So in this walkthrough, I'm kind of simulating a very basic version of that process.
So can you show it to me?
I sure can. So in the walkthrough, I have the reader copy the XAML over. So I'm just going to replace the entire default XAML here with some new XAML. As you can see, the designer updates immediately. In the UI, there's now two buttons, back and forward, and another button for saving changes. And if we take a quick look at the XAML I have you copy over, the main thing to notice here is there's this new grid tag that contains the grid that contains all the buttons on the window itself. Up here in the window, this is the window itself. This smaller border here is the grid, and then everything inside the grid are the buttons and an empty row. There's two main rows. One is shorter than the other, containing the buttons, and the bottom row is a lot taller, and that's where I'll be generating the data-bound controls later on.
So how do you create a data-bound control?
So before you can create data-bound controls in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 1, you want to rebuild your project after adding the entity data model. This is just something for Beta 1. So I'm going to rebuild the project. And now I'm going to bring up the Data Sources window. As you can see, there's this customers entity here. So I'm going to choose details. What this is going to do is it's when I drag the customers node over later on, it's going to generate another grid containing individual data bound controls for each of these properties here. Now, some of these properties I don't really care about seeing in my UI, so I'm going to click none for them. What that means is I don't want to generate a data bound control for those properties. So now that I've done that, I'm going to go ahead and drag the entire customers node over. And what you'll see happen is Visual Studio will generate this new grid here containing two columns. One is the labels for all the controls, and the second column contains the actual controls themselves. And if we take a quick look at the XAML, you'll see several things. Number one, I now have a resource tag for the WPF window that creates a new collection view source object that will be used as kind of a conduit between the data bound controls and the underlying entity data model that the controls are bound to. There is a new grid down here containing all of the data bound controls, and there's the data context property is automatically set to the collection view source from above. And if we look down here, every single control is defined here. Here's a label, here's the text box, label text box, et cetera, et cetera. And each one of these controls, the text property or whatever the data bindable property for the control is bound to the data context of the parent grid. And then each control is sent to a different path value. So for in this case, this control is bound to the customer ID property of the entity data model.
So then how do you hook up the forward and back buttons?
Let me show you. I'm going to start by double-clicking on the buttons in the designer, and what that does is Visual Studio automatically generates some event handlers for the click events of each of those buttons. Now I have all my default event handlers set up. I can go on ahead and start adding code to navigate through the data either backwards or forwards, and then to save the data once you've made changes to it. So I'll return to my walkthrough really quickly here. This is the code for the back button. So I'm going to replace the default code with it. And all it's doing is getting the collection view source that's in the resources for my WPF window. And it's using that view source object to go backwards one step if the button's clicked, basically. Now return to my walkthrough code. So then I'll replace this event handler. And similar to what I just showed you before, this is doing almost the exact same thing. It's getting the collection view source object from the window, and then in this case it's simply moving to the next item in the data instead of backwards. And then the final thing I want to do is to replace the default save button code with some code that uses the save changes method to propagate changes made in the UI back to the database. And now all we should need to do is press F5 to debug and run the application. So here's the application. As you can see, it's there's all the controls here that display some of the data from the very first customer in the customers table. And if I click the forward button, it can scroll on to the next customers. And if I click back, you can see that we're going backwards. And it can't go any farther than the very first customer. And let's say that I want to change the middle name for Mr. Orlando Gee to Nick. If I go ahead and click Save Changes then, not only does that change get propagated during the application itself, but if I then close the application and then choose to start it again without recompiling, we'll see that that change is still there. So that means that the change propagated to the underlying database, and when the application loaded a second time, it pulled that new data back into the middle name for the first customer.
Great. Thanks for the great demo and the walkthrough.
You're welcome.